difficult of a concept when you think about this in a religious aspect of life. Psalms chapter 55, verse 22 says, "Cast your burdens upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Okay, so again, I'm to cast my burdens to God. I'm to just put all my problems, put all my cares over to God. John chapter 16, verse 33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So when I go through these problems, when I go through this turmoil, when I go through these stresses of life, I'm supposed to be cheerful, knowing that good and well. When I do suffer these tribulations, I'm supposed to be joyful because Jesus overcame the world, and I'm supposed to cast all my problems and cares over to Jesus Christ. And so, I ask myself first and foremost this question: if I'm a Christian, why do I have problems in the first place? Why do I have these issues and anxieties of life in the first place? Well, I'll read over Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 3. It says, "Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." And so, I'm supposed to go through this trial and tribulation. I'm supposed to go through these hardships. I'm supposed to go through this anxiety, so to speak, of life, because that's supposed to work on my patience. And there's never been a more clear-cut example of that than when my wife and I found out at 23, 24 years old that we were pregnant with our first child, and here we are still trying to get acclimated to each other, and now we're going to have to get acclimated to another person, another family member within our family. And I tell you, the patience that her and I both have learned, especially having a special needs child, and throughout the years, has just been insurmountable. It's been awesome. And we definitely know why God brought Brady into our life. And so that's why we have these problems. But God has also promised us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 13, "There is no temptation but to such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." And so what I learned from this is that, yes, while I do go through these hardships, while I do go through these aches and pains of life, there is nothing that is going to be so unique to me that somebody else that maybe I love and care and I support and vice versa hasn't gone through themselves. And so what God here is saying is you're never alone in these battles. You're never alone with these problems that you have in life. But then when I look at this, I say, okay, what way of escape do I have then? I read that there is a way of escape, but how do I do that? And again, more oftentimes than not, as Christians, we say what? Put those problems into God's hands. Put those cares into God's hands. So I understand these scriptures. I understand what God's trying to get out of me and what He's trying to get me to see in all of this. I'm going through these rough patches of life. I'm going through these hardships and these difficulties. I'm ready to turn these problems over to God, but it's not like I said a little bit ago that I can just take out my problems and say, "God, here you go. Get back to me when they're solved. Get back to me when they're done." It's not like taking our car to the local mechanic and saying, "I'm having some engine trouble," and he says, "Hey, come back and pick it up in an hour and it'll be fixed for you." It doesn't work like that. And so that's why, to me at least as a Christian, this has been a battle of mine really and truly throughout my entire Christian life, is how do I do this? I'm in a hurry up kind of mentality, right? Hey, I'll need my car back in an hour because I got places to go. I got things to do. I got people to see. I got work to go to. And so there's a time, at essence, from all of that. Well, here God says, give all your problems and cares over to me. I'm going to take care of them. And so we say, A, how do I do that? And B, how long is this going to take? So again, this whole lesson is entitled How to Turn My Problems Over to God, and this was a lesson I was going to do several months ago, but decided just to do a longer, lengthier first lesson, and so I thought this would be a really good, beneficial one for all of us to kind of look at here this morning. But again, this is one of the most perplexing questions that any Christian can ask. How can I turn my problems over to God? Does this literally mean setting all reason aside, taking no further action, dropping off the car, and sitting in the waiting room with your arms crossed and saying, "All right, well, it's in their hands, and I'll just sit here and wait until it finally gets done and over with, and then I can get my car back"? Do we sit at home with our feet propped up on the couch, waiting to hear God say, "Okay, Brock, problems are solved. You know, have a nice day, how all of this works? Or is there much, much more to this? And so again, the lesson is entitled, How Exactly Do I Turn My Problems Over to God? First and foremost, if you're living a Christian life, or maybe even just been in the audience of this congregation for a long or lengthy period of time, we know that the first aspect of this is pretty self-explanatory. The first aspect of how I turn my problems over to God is I just obey. When you think about getting married, there's steps involved in getting married, isn't there? You know, you got to go down to the courthouse, get your marriage certificate, and, you know, you have one of those ladies that wants to do a lot of prep and work involved and wants, you know, somewhat of an elaborate wedding. You got to look at your wedding venue, you got to do all the plans, decorations, get out the bright colors, get the wedding dresses and all this kind of stuff and so on and so forth. So there's prep work involved and there are significant steps involved in getting married. Likewise, same thing happens when we become one in Jesus Christ. Romans 10:17 says, For faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The ironic part of that is that's not just with religion, that's with anything. It's very hard for me to believe in a candidate or that's running for an office, to believe in any kind of a car that I've not read about or know anything about, or anything in life unless I read about it, unless I hear about it. And so then once I do and I'm convinced, then that's where that faith aspect or believing aspect comes into play. God tells us in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, God commands all men everywhere to repent. I've lived my life up to this point a certain way, but now through hearing and now through having faith in God, I need to make some lifestyle changes. I need to think a little bit differently. I need to act a little bit differently. The language that comes out of my mouth, how I treat other people, let alone my spouse or family, has got to be a little bit different as well. So I've got to make those heartfelt changes in my life. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 says, Whosoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. And to me, there's no greater example of this than the example over in Acts 8 with Philip and the eunuch. He says, Here's water, what's hindering me to be baptized? And Philip says, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then lastly, obviously, we're buried in baptism for the remission of our sins. There's no other way to put on Jesus Christ than doing it through complete obedience through baptism. Galatians 3:27 and Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of our Lord and Savior, in the name of our Lord Jesus, for the remission of sins. And then we see over in Psalms chapter 119, verse 105, he says, Thy light is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so follow the path that God has destined for you. Follow the path that God wants you to go down. And how ironic it is that so many times in life when we go through something, when we think, this is my ambitions, this is my desire, and on the flip side of that, we wake up one day and we're going down a completely different path, the path that God wants us to go down. And I've referenced this probably a couple different times here at this congregation. I never, in a million years, especially when I was a young person going to church and stuff, wanted to be in this position. This is not what I wanted to do. I was destined to be a song leader. I always wanted to be a song leader. And now I'm lucky if I lead a song once every quarter, once or twice every quarter or so, because I have so many responsibilities with teaching adult Bible study and sermons and stuff like that. This isn't what I wanted to do. This wasn't my cup of tea, so to speak. But yet again, with the people that I surrounded myself with the encouragement, with the love, with the backing that I've had my entire life, I've seen this side of the fence, so to speak. And just knowing that you can say something or present the Bible in a way that's edifying or uplifting or be able to say some things that some people are challenged with in life, and knowing that you're playing one small role in trying to help them and encourage them, there's no greater thing or no greater feeling to me at least to be able to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then lastly, with obedience, is just stay faithful with the ultimate goal in mind, right? Even when our personal outlook might be bleak, even when I'm going through the motions of life, when I'm going through those trials and tribulations, and on the surface it seems like I'm never going to get out of this mess. I'm always going to feel this way. There's not an escape. I know when I just read 1 Corinthians 10:13, but if it's there, it's way on out there. But even when my personal outlook in life might be bleak, when drawing closer to God, when I completely when I continue to give myself over to God and say, God, I don't know, I don't get it, but I will obey you. I will go the direction that you want me to go because I know you have my best interest in mind. You are drawn for a conclusion to your goal. And that is the goal of entering the kingdom of heaven, devoting our life to God. So I want to caution all of us this morning that if we are going through those trials and temptations of life, ask yourself the question, how close and how strong is my relationship with God? Do I only crack open the Bible when I come together under this building in this capacity with my fellow Christians? Am I only singing these songs when we come together and we have a song leader? It's been great with my kids. Harper will sometimes say, Dad, let's sing a church song. Let's Onward Christian Soldiers. Or, you know, they have some of those DVDs where the young kids are singing, you know, church songs and stuff. And so she'll go through the house singing the songs, and Brady's saying, please don't sing anymore. And we're singing, yeah, sing, keep going, you know. And so it's so great to be engaged in worship when we're not here specifically in the worship services. My personal opinion is every single day is a worship day to God. Every single opportunity that we get to engage in prayer, to open up our Bibles, to maybe listen to some of these podcasts and stuff like that. Our congregation is one that we put a lot of our audio sermons on directly on our website and our singings we have on our website and stuff. And ever so often we'll get the Bluetooth speaker and turn it on and we'll listen to some of these songs. And it's not a vain thing, so don't you get the wrong impression, but I'll listen to some of my sermons and critique myself and say, yeah, I don't need to say that anymore, or maybe add to my sermon, or maybe take something away from it. And so stay faithful and do that every single day of your life. Number two, how I turn my problems over to God, I got to stay humble. I've got to stay humble. And that is so hard to do in today's society. It's just to kind of take the back seat approach. It's just to kind of say, you know what? Maybe my car's not going to be done in an hour. Maybe it's going to be in 2 or 3 hours. And rather than get the hair standing up on your back and say, these guys don't know what they're doing and I got places to be, I got to go to here and there, take a deep breath. This is counseling session 101 now, right? Take a deep breath, close your eyes, read a good book, do something that's calming, do something that's relaxing. It's kind of comical to say this, but I'll tell you, outside of Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, I'm so glad that my kids, every single night, before we go to bed, want to watch an episode of Andy Griffith. It's just a calming, you know, very kind of, you know, somewhat funny and humorous episodes and stuff, but that's television, if you ask me, not this trash that they put on TV these days, but every single night, Brady will come to me at 7:30 and say, Dad, we need to watch Andy Griffith. Dad, we need to watch Andy Griffith. And so do something that is just calming and relaxing, to allow yourself to be humble. It's so hard to get humble when you're in the fire and things are constantly happening in one direction to another. My wife and I went to Fresh Time the other day. We're really trying to start changing our diet up a little bit. We were at Fresh Time yesterday, and I saw the look on her face, and looked like she'd almost seen a ghost. I said, honey, what's wrong? She said, this is just overwhelming. Organic this, and non-fructose that, and non-GMO that, and so it's just overwhelming. I said, well, you need to come here sometime by yourself without me and the kids and just do your reading and kind of do your own thing and kind of take a deep breath from everything. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 5, says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, be clothed with humility. All right? Don't just put a shirt of humility on. Don't just put socks of humility on, so to speak. Clothe yourself. Drown yourself in humility. Again, something you just don't see happening in today's society. And I'm going to go one step further and say, it's rare to find it in the Lord's church today. And I think I've made this statement before. There are some congregations of the Lord's church that if they paid me money to come place my membership there, I don't think I could do it. The leadership and the eldership and the ministry is not humble whatsoever. And I hate to say that, hate to admit that, but even I do a lot of conversing with a lot of different folks, and when I get done with some of my conversations, I'm thinking to myself, you're a gospel minister? You're an elder at a congregation of the Lord's church? And it's I'm left dumbfounded. So he says, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Well, how do I do that? We're talking about it right now. Humbling myself and saying, God, I can't solve these problems on my own. I don't know what I'm doing over half the time. I'm drowning in this, in my struggles. I'm drowning in this tribulation. God, I need help. Sometimes it's recognizing and admitting, yes, I do need help. I do need assistance. I do need encouragement. I do need prayer offered on my behalf. I am drowning. I am struggling. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion who walks about seeking whom he may devour. There is nobody on the face of this earth that knows your sorrows and knows that you're drowning more than Satan does. I mean, we can throw God, obviously, and Christ in that mix, obviously, that know you better than you know yourself. But Satan knows your weaknesses better than you and I know them ourselves. And sometimes we go through these different emotions of life. We wake up one day and go brush our teeth and we look ourselves in the mirror and we think, I can't even recognize self anymore because I'm not humble anymore. I've been trying to take all this on myself. I remember when I was a teenager, we had a brother that was coming for 30 plus years and all of a sudden he just left. And had committed adultery against his wife and just was drowning in his sorrows. And he just left. He was gone for about a month and a half. Finally came back to one of our Wednesday night worship services, came forward and said, before I go through my confession, the first thing I want to say is this. Whenever you think that you can go handle your problems on your own, I'm here to tell you as an example, you're already fighting a losing battle. So sometimes we have to humble ourselves, and in doing so, we give up that control. Control we thought we had, but then the end result is we never had it in the first place. We give up that control to God and say, God, I'm going to take a deep breath. God, I'm going to take a step back. God, I'm going to get more engaged and do things that you want me to do, God. And in doing so, hopefully my cares will just kind of leave me and go to you. And I cannot tell you how many times that's happened to me personally as well. I'm a go-getter. I'm not somebody that can just sit back with their arms crossed and their feet propped up and do nothing. If I see a problem, if I see an issue, I always have to go headstrong in it. And sometimes that's bitten me in the rear end more often times than I could ever possibly admit to you. It's bitten me pretty badly. So God here says, be sober, be vigilant. Cast all these cares upon Him. He cares about us. But we go through these trials and tribulations. We go through these things of life because it molds us into who we are today. And I think that's the key in all of this. If you're facing trials and tribulations, you might not get it now, but you're going to wake up one day stronger. You're going to wake up one day with more courage. You're going to wake up one day with just this insurmountable power that you never thought you ever had. And you're going to look back at the past, which we're going to talk about in the next segment this morning, and say, look at what I conquered. And how was I able to do that? I humbled myself before the almighty hand of God. We must admit that we cannot control the future. And I'm not going to get a lot into that because that's going to be kind of our next segment of the lesson this morning as well. But we have to minimize our pride and we have to practice the state of not thinking that we're above others or their assistance. So a couple of months ago, I was actually diagnosed with depression. I went to my doctor finally, and working from home was a challenge. My office was a challenge. I was getting no support out in Salt Lake City, Utah. We had some things going on in our congregation. One of our sisters has been coming for 30-plus years. Her and her husband got a divorce, and we just had so many issues. It seemed like it was going on. It was been a struggling winter, last winter for me. So my wife kept saying, you need to go to a doctor, go to a counselor, or somebody, just talk to somebody, talk these issues out. Finally, I said, fine, I'll go to a doctor and we'll see what's going on. The doctor said, man, you should have came to me a long time ago. And so we worked through some challenges. I got a new job. I'm back on base now, working in the Air Force Research Laboratory. I absolutely love it. Things are going great from that perspective. And it finally took me humbling myself and saying, I can't keep going. I can't keep going down this path because I'm getting maybe short with my kids, I'm not being able to be as happy as I want to be around my spouse or with life, and so I had to take charge and do something about that. And I had to minimize that pride, And I had to think to myself, you know what? I'm not going to get through this alone. James chapter 4, verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Maybe you are down and out. Maybe you are going through the thick of life and found yourself drowning in this ocean of life and the storms that are presented itself. You know what? Humble yourself a little bit. Jonah had to. We could look at all kinds of Old Testament scriptures of people that ended up having to humble themselves. And yeah, I got to listen to God. I got to obey God, which is what we talked about a little bit ago. And look at Paul. You talk about humility. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:9, he says, for I am the least of the apostles. He persecuted the church. He stood by and watched Stephen be martyred. He says in Ephesians 3:8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is grace given. He says in 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Yet we attribute Paul as being single-handedly one of the most influential people ever in history when it comes to the Lord's church, don't we? That's what humility is. Humility is saying, hey, grace is even given to me, and I'm the least of all saints. Jesus Christ died for me and for all sinners, even myself, whom I am the chief of. That's what humility says, and that's what it talks about. Number three, stay away from distractions. Stay away from distractions. I don't know if any of you have any illustrations or examples of life with attention deficit disorder, otherwise known as ADD. My little boy has ADD, and if you sit down and do a homework assignment, you sit down and do maybe 5 math problems, it will take him literally 45 minutes to an hour. If the television is on, his sisters are screaming, if the dog is walking around or something, the slightest little noise, his attention is diverted from what he's supposed to be doing. Stay away from distractions. Far too often in life, we feel like we can tackle our own problems without assistance from anyone. I've already kind of talked about that and alluded to that this morning. But rather than incorporating God in our issues, we bottle them up and we hide them from Him. What happened to Adam and Eve? Remember that whole storyline situation? They realized that they were naked. They heard God walking in the garden and they tried to hide themselves from the Lord. They tried to hide their problems. They tried to hide their issues, and even allowing a negative attitude sometimes, guys, can stranglehold our problems and can negate us from turning them over to God. Attitude is everything. No matter if you have a conversation with someone, if you're trying to introduce Jesus Christ to someone, if maybe you are trying to solve a conflict resolution with someone else, if you go into a conflict with someone and your resolve is, I'm going to show that sucker how to do this, and I'm going to tell him how I won or how I was right, rather than having this humble attitude of, you know what, maybe I am wrong. I don't know. And Nick and I were talking about that a little bit ago. I said something to him, I forget to believe him what it was, but I told him, I said, well, that's my attitude at least. Maybe I'm wrong in it. I don't know. You know? And I don't. I truthfully don't. We need to be able to, every single time we engage in any Bible study subject, with any conversation we have with someone, go into that conversation hoping to learn something. Not that I'm going to show them up. I'm going to tell them off, or I'm going to win this fight. It's not about winning or losing, especially when it comes to the side of God. When it comes to Christianity, when it comes to Christian principles. It's about being able to stay focused and remain focused for the cause of Jesus Christ. We see over in Hebrews chapter 12, in the first couple of verses, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You ever had a workout buddy or a workout partner, and maybe you're trying to do some push-ups, and your buddy's over there trying to tell you a joke, and you're trying to remain focused, and you know, it's harder the more you go down and you come up, and all of a sudden your attention is to what your buddy just said, and you start laughing, and you just can't do it anymore. Right? Or your kids are, in my case, trying to typically get a crawl over your back and stuff, and your attention just goes out the door. He says, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside these problems and these trials and tribulations of life, and let's focus on what we need to be focusing on, and that's living for God. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, focusing on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This goes back to the last two things we just talked about, doesn't it? Complete obedience and humbling ourselves, focusing on Jesus Christ. If you're studying for a big promotion, if you're studying for that upcoming exam, test, or quiz, the recommendation is what? Turn the radio off, turn your television off, turn your phone off, and study the material that's being presented in front of you. Likewise, our Christian lives are the exact same thing. I don't know if anybody knows the name of Eddie Hurley. He's down in Kentucky, travels all throughout Kentucky preaching. But he used to call the television the one-eyed monster. Yeah, he said the one-eyed monster is destroying society. The one-eyed monster is killing our kids these days and polluting their minds and stuff. Turn that television off. If you're struggling with certain areas of sin, tackle them. Turn them off. Address them. Don't let them just kind of hang around and hope and pray that one day they're going to go away, because they're not going to. Tackle those issues. Turn them over to God and let Him help you get rid of those things. Fourth and lastly, in the lesson of the year this morning, how I can turn my problems over to God. More often times than not, this is always our go-to, isn't it? Just pray about it. Just pray about it. That's very easy for us to say as Christians sometimes, isn't it? Is, hey, if you're going through trials or tribulations or difficulties, just pray about it. But I think all of these other elements that we've talked about here this morning are just as important as the engaging in prayer. John 9:31, we can talk about all day, can't we? Which simply states that now we know that God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and does His will, him He hears. So think of the sad state that a person finds themselves in when they're not either prayed for others or even things in their own life. I don't know how many times people have come to me knowing that I'm a Christian and says, man, I know you have a direct line of communication with God. Pray for me. And my answer always back to them is, I'm going to, but I hope and pray that you can pray for yourself one day and one day soon. So praying for other folks. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, don't ever hesitate. Don't ever cease to pray. People act like that the only way that we're allowed to pray is by bowing our heads, closing our eyes, and putting our hands together. I'll be the first to admit that on my way into work on the majority of mornings, I'll turn the radio off, and I'll pretend like God is sitting right there in the passenger seat next to me, and I have a conversation with God. I'll thank Him for my blessings. I'll ask Him for things, for relief from things I'm struggling with, and so on and so forth. Don't ever cease to pray. We don't have the time this morning, but we can easily look at the example of prayer. Forgiving those as God has forgiven us, we could make a plethora of different things. That's a lesson in and of itself, the Lord's Prayer, and the example that He's using and left behind for us to pray. So we wonder how we can be sure that when we communicate with God, we're actually talking to God and not just merely to ourselves, or like we're just, you know, kind of talking crazy talk, so to speak. Could it only be our overactive imagination that attributes to God when it's really generated by our own mind? Are we talking to ourselves? The core of active faith is to trust. And so when we do pray to God, I trust that the words that are coming out of my mouth, He's at least listening to them. And He knows me, He's got my best interests at heart, and He's going to see fit that He's going to take care of me. Even when the evidence doesn't support it, I know that God is there. That's what trust, that's what faith is, and that's what it's all about. So what I have to do is follow the path of peace that God has provided, not always looking for a sign from God. I don't know how many times people have said, oh, I looked for a sign from God that I was going to the right college, or that I was going to the right field, or I was doing this, and I was doing that. It's about following God's direction in life and allowing God just to navigate your pathway. If a door opens up and you walk in that door, I trust that this door I'm going in is the door that God wanted me to go down. And if it's not, I know that God's direction is going to be to go right back out of that door and find a different one and find a different opportunity that I can go down and be successful in. So in closing, again, I've already talked a lot about this stuff, but it's sometimes difficult to get it all over to God, especially when we don't see the results and when we expect to see them. But we know good and well that we can't be distracted by other things, right? Don't allow distractions to cloud our faith in Jesus Christ. Humble yourself, therefore, in the sight of God, and He will lift you up. Humble yourself. I think that is so key and so important when we're trying to cast our cares and our burdens over to God. Not obeying God is costly, friends, in more ways than one. And lastly, don't forget to faithfully open your heart to God and say, God,
Here I am.
We sing a song in our Sacred Selections hymn book, which I think you guys have here as well. Here am I, send me. Lord, I don't always get it. Lord, I don't always understand it. But here I am, Lord, send me. And that's the direction I'm going to go. Well, lesson is yours for this morning. I hope it's been beneficial to everyone that's in the listening audience. And if you're in the audience and not yet a Christian, hopefully we've been able to say some things that would maybe kind of spark some interest in your life, that maybe you need Jesus Christ in your life. Maybe you need to be able to turn your life over to God. Maybe we've been able to say some things that would cause you to want to do that here this morning. But if you are a Christian, you're struggling with turning problems over to God, you're struggling to understand this whole process, and maybe we've said some things that would allow a little bit more clarity in your life in this aspect of questioning that you have, please come forward. Let us pray with you and for you. That your sins would be forgiven, and that we can give you that good spiritual song in the arm. All together, we stand and sing it. All right. Thank you.